All right, gentlemen, I have a very special treat for you today. Martina Hughes, the founder of tantricblossoming.com, has taken time out of her busy and freezing cold schedule to come and chat with us today about everything tantra related. Thank you for joining us, Martina.
Thanks, Lee, for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I know you have a wealth of knowledge and you're incredibly good at what you do, so it's great to have you here. First of all, I just wanted to kick it off by asking sort of what is tantra? Because I know there are a lot of guys who are listening to this who might have heard about sort of like tantric sex through like Sting or something like that, but not sort of fully understand what tantra is really all about.
Sure. And that's a really great question, because it can be that people think tantra is all about sex, whereas the sexual experience is one part of tantra.
Sure.
So the way that I like to explain it is that it's about being connected to the whole of yourself. So that includes feeling your body and being connected to your body from the inside.
Okay.
All too often people approach sexual experiences and connection based on what they can get from another. However, tantra is about really taking that energy and that focus inside, such that if I'm connected to myself, then I can have a much more meaningful and fulfilling connection with somebody else.
Okay. So about really kind of getting to know yourself and understand what your desires and drives are.
Definitely, definitely. And knowing that your sexual energy is part of your fuel for life. So I see a lot of people attempting to run their life just from their head.
Yeah.
And it's quite exhausting.
So I'm sure anyone who's been there before can attest to that.
Yeah. So if you look at a car, if you're trying to run a car without fuel in the tank, you've got to get out and push it.
Okay.
So when we're trying to run our life just from the head, it's the same as pushing the car without the fuel. Whereas when we come into the body and recognize that our sexual energy, different to the act of sex, our sexual energy is our life force energy. So that's our fuel for how we live, how we engage, how we connect with others, how we create every aspect of our lives.
Okay. So would you say sort of tantra is about sort of really sort of knowing yourself and understanding yourself and drives and your inner drives and desires, with a kind of a specific focus on sexual drives and desires?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. And also that it's about accepting our own humanity.
Okay.
Often the masculine energy can be quite focused on the abstract and the romantic idealized version of life.
Yeah.
And that urge to come into the body quite often for men is only acted out through the act of sex.
Okay.
Whereas if a man accepts his humanity and comes in to own all the feelings and all the desires in the body, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, then that level of accepting his humanity gives him a much greater fuel and passion.
Okay. Interesting. So you mentioned before about sort of a lot of people living their life just sort of running off the energy in their head and thoughts and stuff like that. Is that what you were doing? You mentioned you had a very different job to a tantric facilitator before getting into it.
Yes, I was a chartered accountant for all of my 20s and beginning of my 30s, and definitely spent my life very much living out of my head and knowing on some level that something was missing, but unaware of how to connect with what was missing, unaware of how to access those parts of myself. So for me, I tried to fulfill what was missing through holidays, men, nights out drinking and partying, buying a house, having lots of fun adventures with friends, but always feeling like, oh, there's something here that doesn't feel right inside of me. So always looking for that external gratification. And it was really with coming to my own personal journey and discovering tantra that I fell so deeply into myself that I went, oh, there's home. Yeah. That's what I've been looking for on the outside, and it's been inside of me all along. So in finding home inside of myself, it meant that I could flow with life much more easily and fluidly. And of course, I still have challenges that come up, but I'm able to approach those challenges from an integrated place within myself, where I have an open heart that can love and accept life's challenges, and I have my sexual energy as my fuel for life. Yeah. So I'm no longer in struggle or just trying to push through it all from my head.
Yeah. That must have been a very big shift from being a chartered accountant.
It was a massive, massive change, yeah. That's for sure. And nowadays I feel like a very different person than who I was then. It's almost as though I don't recognize myself. Yeah.
Was it difficult for you to kind of accept some of the principles in Tantra and some of the ideas in Tantra, considering you'd spent so much time with like logic and numbers? Did you find that challenging to switch over to that next space?
I always had a sense of a largeness around my own sexual energy anyway. So when I discovered Tantra, there was such a relaxation of like, oh, this thing that has been attempting to burn its way. but like most people, I was only ever accessing it through sex, and then it was quite a limited version of sex, because like most people, sex for me was just about the head and the genitals, whereas then with Tantra I discovered that my sexual energy could empower my whole body and my whole life. Was like, ah, it more relaxing than challenging once I discovered it.
I actually wanted to touch on that. What changes about sex when you're able to drop deeper into your own desires, when it stops being about the head and the genitals and actually starts being about the whole body? How does that change the sexual experience?
The big thing that changes is permission within oneself, because if we go back to the opposite being that, let's say you're a child and you start to feel sexual desires. So you touch your genitals and your parents go, oh, don't touch yourself there. Yeah. And then you go to school and you hear that sex is bad and wrong, and all the messages and conditioning we receive that actually create contraction and shutdown in the body.
Yeah.
Even on a really subtle level, you might be watching a movie with your parents when you're a child and there's a kissing scene on TV and the adults in the room kind of go and contract because they're scared of their own sexual desires coming to the surface. As children, we're sponges. So even if the parents don't say anything overtly about sex or the kissing scene on TV, as a child being a sponge, you take on the message that for some reason it's not okay to feel that desire move inside.
Yeah.
So then we end up creating a lot of contraction through our body, and it sits in all of the large muscle groups in our body. So it's through the groin, the lower back, the pelvic floor, the belly, the shoulders, the neck, the jaw. So a lot of the tension that we hold in our bodies is because we've spent our whole life kind of going, I can't feel that. Yeah. And it's not only sexual desires. We get told not to feel sad or not to feel angry or not to be overly expressive. So all of that energy gets shut down over many years. And so a big part of the journey with Tantra is permission, saying yes to your own feelings. So saying yes to your sadness, saying yes to your happiness, saying yes to overt expressions of joy, and saying yes to sexual desires, such that if there is a man being present with a woman who's open, so if I was sitting here right now being open and having awareness of that internal permission I give myself, and a present man walks into the room, then my body may start to feel sexual energy move inside. Now, as an aware woman, I don't have to project that energy onto him. I don't have to say that that energy is about him, but I can own it for myself and let it move inside of me, knowing that if I don't let it move inside of me, then I'm creating contractions again inside. So many of the women, including myself, who are open and aware and have been in these spaces, opening up for a long time, can very easily go into orgasms just through breathing and connecting with the inside of our own body, because we know that our loving energy and our sexual energy are ours first, and not something that we have to wait for a man to bring.
Wow.
Of course, sharing it with a man enhances the experience and makes it even more beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not making men redundant here.
With the invention of automatic lawnmowers, we will be out.
And I know it is a fear for some of the men when they first come into the tantric spaces and they see women being highly orgasmic.
Yeah.
Without a man's contact, and then the men are a little threatened, and so I do like to let the man know that highly orgasmic experience is even more enhanced in the contact with a man.
Interesting, very interesting. You raised something there which I think is sort of particularly relevant for the guys who'll be listening to this, about sort of when you're sexually open and aware and accepting of what's happening inside you, and a present man walks into the room, you can feel that, and that can stir feelings inside you. Was that right?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Because this is one thing that kind of gets raised by in the sort of the dating and the pickup community about sort of the surface levelness of communication, and how the way to attract a woman is to, by saying these specific things or taking these specific actions. But what I was sort of getting from you is that you can tell a lot about a man even before you start to speak to him. Is that correct?
That's very true. I feel men are constantly communicating their level of connection and comfort in their own body to a woman.
Yeah.
So, and I know you and I have had a little bit of this conversation before about the reliance on techniques and how a lot of the pickup communities and so on do rely on techniques as such.
Yeah.
However, it does come back to what a man is carrying inside. So if a man walked up to me and used a certain technique or a line, but he was totally comfortable in his own body and aware of who he is and clear in his intention to connect with me, then I could respond to him.
Yeah.
Whereas if a man comes towards me and he's in his head and he's trying to remember the right way to use the technique.
I will execute X technique and Sarge this HB9.
yeah. If he's doing all that, then I'm like, oh, something's uncomfortable here. How do I get out of this?
Are you saying it's not so much about the technique but the person using?
Definitely. And it's not. Of course, confidence is attractive, but it doesn't have to always be about confidence. A really nervous man could walk up to me and be totally authentic and connected to his nervousness, and I could be attracted to him.
Yeah.
If he's authentic in his intention and what he's bringing towards me.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. I think you've just ruined the entire basis of the pickup community. in one sentence, congratulations. wonderful.
And I mean, I know you speak about intention with the men, which I do feel that intention is so critical. I watched myself in the beginning of this tantra journey and the experience that a lot of women have around judging men as sleazy.
Yeah.
And as my love for men and for humanity increased, I started to really question this idea of men as sleazy, because I know in my heart, I feel that men have just as strong a desire to connect as women do. So I wanted to really pull apart this judgment of sleaziness. And I started to really watch what happened. And the instance where, let's say if I'm walking down the street and I'm wearing a nice flowing dress that shows curves, and a man looks at me and he's appreciating my body, and then he looks away because he's ashamed that he's been sprung looking at me.
Busted.
In that moment, it leaves a sense of ickiness between me and him because he's ashamed that he was looking. Yeah. Whereas if he stays looking at me, holds my eye contact, even smiles nervously at me, there's no ickiness between us and I can be like, oh, that's lovely. I was just appreciated by a man.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. That's really interesting to hear because I know a lot of guys have very, get confusing messages about what is okay and what is not okay to do in terms of looking at a woman or appreciating a woman, especially in the modern climate, modern sort of social climate where sexual harassment is such a problem which gets brought up over and over and over again. That it can be, I know even for myself, like knowing whether or not it's okay to look at a woman and to appreciate a woman's beauty. I know that can be challenging.
Yeah, and feminism has done a big disservice for masculine feminine polarity. Yeah. I mean, of course, I fully support as a woman having a vote and having equal pay and all those.
Women could vote? When did this happen?
All of those kind of top level things of feminism I truly support. Yeah. However, I still feel a desire to be appreciated as a woman.
Yeah.
And I might be hunted out of town by the feminists for saying this. But I was near actually opposite my house. There were some builders working recently, building a new house. Yeah. And I could feel myself as I was coming and going from my house, I could feel the builders looking at me and appreciating me. Yeah. And that part of me that went, shame the wolf whistle disappeared. Because a woman in her feminine enjoys being appreciated. So that's not to say I want to be objectified and just seen as a sex object, but I do enjoy being appreciated for being a woman.
Okay. What would you say, sort of in your words, in your experience, is the difference between objectification and appreciation?
Appreciation for me is that you can feel who a woman is and not put her into a box. So objectification would be looking at a woman and putting her in the box, like, oh, yes, she's got, you know, great breasts. I want to have sex with her now. That's kind of like that's a box rather than an appreciation. So an appreciation, you might still admire her breasts, but you're also feeling who she is.
Yeah.
Feeling that she's a woman with feelings and longings and desires and being present and aware enough in yourself to accept your own humanity and desires.
Okay. Would you say the difference is sort of going beyond the superficial sort of physical external and feeling beyond that to who she is and what she desires and what kind of person she really is?
Yeah, definitely on a deeper level. And of course, in a brief exchange of two people crossing paths in the street, that's not always going to happen.
Yeah.
However, I feel like there's a more superficial appreciation that can happen with a moment's glance of even just enjoying the look or the feel or the way a woman moves.
Okay, beautiful.
And being clean in that. I think it's when men try to hide their appreciation of a woman's body that it leaves what I call the ickiness in the air between them.
Okay. Interesting. I know for myself, sometimes I do that, but a lot of the time, one of the reasons that I tend to sort of appreciate and also contract at the same time is maybe fear might be the right word, that my appreciation is unwanted.
Yeah, and I know from a lot of men that there's a sadness around the appreciation of women not being accepted by women. And then I share that a lot with the women I work with, to say a man can smile at you in the street, or he can come up and say something beautiful to you. He can appreciate who you are as a woman, without that meaning he's going to have sex with you. And this is part of where it gets tricky, because a lot of women, their conditioning means that the mind goes, oh my God, he looked at me, he wants to have sex with me, he's going to jump on top of me.
Incredible, the stories that play out in people's heads.
And what I've noticed is that being sexually open and aware creates less unwanted attraction.
Very interesting.
The women who are determined to kind of stay contracted and not let men into their space tend to be the women who attract the unwanted attention, because the men somehow see that as a challenge to try and break through that.
Interesting.
So I keep working with the women I work with to support them to find the middle ground, you know, not being the manipulative kind of overtly grabbing sex version of a woman, but equally not to be contracted and shut down, but to be a woman who can feel her own power in her sexual energy and know that she can say yes or no to whatever comes her way.
Amazing. I know there are a lot of guys listening to this who would definitely enjoy meeting more women like that. So on behalf of all of them, I would like to say thank you.
Well, I guess you keep working with the men and I'll keep working with women, and
we'll see how we go.
Change the fabric of our societies.
We'll see how we go. So while we're kind of moving on this topic, I'd love to know your thoughts on what sort of tantra can offer guys who are looking to meet more women and improve their relationships with women. Is tantra something you would recommend for a single guy looking to start a new relationship?
It can be really helpful. A lot of the single men I work with, the biggest problem is they disconnect from their penises. So back a few months ago, I was running a men's workshop, and there are about 16 men there. Yeah. And I just remember, because of my level of feminine insight, with each man who spoke and shared, I just kept having this sense that a number of the men were leaving their penises outside of the room when they talked to a woman.
Okay.
So it was kind of turned into a bit of a humorous line by the end of the night, but I just remember so many of the questions that the men were asking me, my response was, don't leave your penis at the door. It's like she wants to feel that you're a man. Otherwise, she'll just hang out with her girlfriends, or she'll make you a girlfriend. Yeah. So for men who are unsure about their connections and their sexual experiences and how to even make some of those first connections with women, include your penis. It doesn't mean that you put your penis in her face.
Yeah.
But to pretend that you're not a sexual being is not attractive, because how I experience it, if a man is pretending that he's not a sexual being, he's instantly untrustworthy.
Okay.
Because we're all sexual beings, men and women, and some have higher sex drives than other. However, if there's an attraction at play between a man and a woman, there will be some sexual desire and some sexual drives running. So when the man comes up and plays all nice and asks me all the same questions that my girlfriend would ask me.
Where did you get that dress?
Yeah, those
I
kinds
love your
of ones.
Handbag.
It's like, oh my God, attraction just fizzled. Whereas if he comes up and is feeling his own sexual desires without necessarily putting them onto me, but feeling them inside of his body, then I get to feel what's happening for him. Yeah. Because the thing to remember is that women are feeling creatures and constantly feeling where you are in your body, what you're happening. what you're bringing, what your intentions are. And some women are more conscious of this than others, but even the most unconscious woman will feel on some level where your intention is and where your energy is. And if you're engaging with feeling your own sexual desires from the inside, then she can be like, oh, this is a sexual man.
Okay.
He's not trying to be somebody he's not.
Okay. So I just want to cover that, like just sort of restate that, because I think that's so incredibly important. Are you saying that if a guy doesn't own his sexuality when he comes and talks to you, that you just can't trust him? Was that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because when he doesn't own his sexuality and he's trying to be a nice guy,
yeah,
for me, nice guys are just not trustworthy, because you never know when they're going to get pushed to the extent that all of what's been repressed inside of them comes out.
Yeah.
And I say nice guy with inverted commas, sure, and I'm sure you and the men, yeah, listening know what I'm talking about with the nice guy persona. Yeah. It's not that I want to be with people who are awful. but the nice guy persona is a mask.
Yeah.
So then somewhere in my unconscious,
yeah,
it's like, oh, it's a bit unsettling to be here, because I don't know when the other side that's been repressed will come out.
Okay. Wow, interesting. Would you say that's the biggest thing that guys should work on when sort of going on this journey of meeting new women and starting new relationships?
Yeah, I would say so. I recommend to men to make their penis their best friend. So I know a lot of men use their penis to masturbate and watching, yeah, porn and masturbating and so on, but there's a difference between connecting and stimulating your penis from the inside compared to projected images and fantasies from the head. So,
okay,
when I say make your penis your best friend, it's creating a whole new depth of relationship with your penis, such that you truly understand your sexual energy as a man. And from that place, another component of the sexual energy for men then becomes identifying between the orgasm and the ejaculation.
Okay. I guess that's a great lead on to kind of where I wanted to take this next. What are some of the practices that guys who are interested in sort of getting to know their penis more and getting more in touch with their desires and being able to hold those desires and hold that kind of authenticity when talking to beautiful and sometimes intimidating women, what are some good practices that guys can take on to help improve that?
Yeah, so one of the things that I recommend for all of my male clients is each day to place left hand on the heart, right hand on the penis, and have a sense of breathing in feminine energy through the heart,
yeah,
and then taking that down into the belly, and from the belly, breathing into the penis and breathing masculine energy out through the penis.
Okay.
So it's a really simple but incredibly effective tantric practice that supports a man in creating new neural pathways through the body, because instead of that whole masculine feminine exchange happening in the head, he starts to have a new network for it happening actually in the body.
Okay.
And it also gives him a stronger connection to his penis and his sexuality, and also breathing the feminine energy in through his heart. He starts to have that deeper understanding of what it is to appreciate the feminine, that the feminine energy can actually feed his heart, which is part of the reason for a man's strong sexual desire, is because he wants to feel his heart through the feminine.
So would you say doing that sort of once a day, for once a week, once a month, how often is good to do that?
I recommend twice a day, so 5 to 10 minutes in the morning when men wake up and 5 to 10 minutes before they go to sleep at night.
Okay.
And then it can start to become a practice that supports you when you're moving about in the world as well. So in the beginning, it might just be the private thing that you do in your own space.
Yeah.
But then let's say you're out somewhere publicly and you start talking to a woman, you don't need to put your hands on your body.
Because that would be kind of creepy.
Yeah, might weird her out unless she's already into tantra. But a man could be meeting a woman and starting to engage with that sense of breathing in her feminine energy through his heart, breathing out through his penis to bring his masculine energy into the space. And one way for men to practice that before they bring it into a conversation with a woman would be even to sit somewhere publicly and somewhere that a lot of women move by, and actually even while sitting there having that sense of breathing in the feminine energy that walks past.
Sure.
'Cause when a man can breathe in the feminine energy, he starts to have a sense of what's going on for her on the inside.
Sure.
Because if you feel how somebody is breathing, or if you feel how they're standing, or you feel how they're moving, you get a sense of where their energy is. So let's say if we were in Pitt Street Mall and there's lots of women in their corporate suits going to their offices.
Yeah.
A man might sit there and he breathes in that feminine energy and he's like, oh, they're really busy, they're really stuck in their heads, and they may not have time to stop and talk. However, he'll also get the cues of when a woman is a little more open to engage, and knowing that even the busiest women, even the ones that are most especially the ones that have a lot of energy going on in their head, they actually want to be felt by the masculine. You know, they want, on some deep level, it might be buried, but each woman has a longing and a desire to open to the masculine. So the more comfortable a man is with his own masculine, then the more she feels supported to open to that.
Sure. How would you sort of recommend guys get better? Sorry, would you recommend this as kind of like a good practice for helping guys get better at recognizing which woman is receptive to being approached and which woman is sort of more just focused on doing her own thing?
Yeah, that would be a good practice, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you probably cover this with the men, but just to say here, even for the men to know that they don't have to get it right all the time, because part of their development as men is knowing that they're not going to die from rejection. I know that we all have those fears of dying from rejection, and I've been there myself, but rejection is part of what develops who we are.
Yeah. A lot of guys have posted some sort of interesting questions up on the forum. I thought we'd touch on a couple of the better ones here. There's one here from Zach about, what do you think about the sex god method principle, dominance, emotion, variety, immersion? I know you're not sort of 100% familiar with the sex god method, but what are your thoughts on sort of sex and the role of dominance and emotion and variety and immersion in sex?
If I address emotion first, because I guess that connects on to what I was just saying about feeling. So when you're connected to yourself, you're able to, which essentially that's the essence of Tantra, is connection to yourself.
Yeah.
So when you are connected to yourself, you have an awareness of what's happening on a feeling level for the other person.
Sure.
So there will be times when it's appropriate to engage sexually from a place that's quite rough and wild and intense. Yeah. And then there'll be times where it's appropriate to engage in something that's slower and more sensual and more of a soothing, nurturing connection. So really, emotion is kind of the key to know when to bring which of those energies.
Okay.
Because when you're connected on a feeling and an emotional level, then you read a woman's energies and you can sense where she's at and what she is longing for or looking for in you. So I think that is really critical part of Tantra, is that connection to being able to feel where each other is at. Okay. I know some people imagine, based on what they've heard about Tantra, that all Tantra is hours and hours of long, slow lovemaking and stillness. However, for me, it can be just as tantric to have, you know, 10 minutes of wild lovemaking up against the wall, you know, because that might
wall
be.
Wall Tantra. I've heard of this.
That might be the type of, you know, sexual energy that's present in that moment.
Okay, amazing.
So Tantra, for me, it's not about having a prescription of this is the way to make love. It's about being able to tune in to what's the feeling and connection there.
Yeah.
And then to move on to the dominance aspect, because in Tantra we work a lot with masculine, feminine polarities and we live in a world where masculine, feminine polarities are pretty skewed and out of balance. We have a lot of women in the face of the feminist movement who've taken on a much stronger masculine posturing. And I know that because I was one of them. I lived in my head and caused myself a lot of internal pain and some illnesses because of living in my head. Yeah. So that masculine posturing, a lot of women keep justifying that as, you know, the rights they've fought for. However, I do know there's a lot of pain that sits underneath that. So when women have a lot of that masculine energy, then they feel like they need to be with a man who's like, you know, really, really, really super strong to kind of break them down out of that masculine posturing. Or they just write all men off as being, you know, too weak or too soft.
Yeah.
However, and this is where I think in some ways BDSM is rising in popularity because natural polarity is missing. Oh. So people are using props and tools to act out polarity rather than truly feeling polarity from within the body.
Sure.
So there's a place for a man to bring a masculine energy that's not necessarily dominating, but to let a woman know that he's bringing his sense of authority.
Okay.
So a place where he's letting her know that he's got things handled and he's directing the energy. He's the one who's, you know, really, truly holding the space so that she can fully let go and surrender. Because then when she can fully let go and surrender, it gives her the opportunity to fall back into trust with the feminine parts of herself.
Okay.
So I think in some ways dominance is being overplayed at the moment and it's a bit of a mask to compensate for lack of natural polarity.
Okay.
And having said that, it can still be fun to play with.
Being pinned up against the wall.
Yeah. So it's, again, I'm not into setting rules, but to know that reliance on anything is a bit of an out of balance.
Okay.
There's room for all kinds of flavours and fun within sexual exchange, which I guess is the variety point.
Yeah.
And then immersion was the last one in that, which I think immersion also taps back into feeling and presence.
Yeah.
And I guess one of my favourite analogies around presence comes from my first exposure to the spiritual communities before I discovered Tantra. I used to get really uncomfortable when people were being present with me because it's like they'd jut their head forward and they'd be so focused in their head on connecting with my head that there was just all this head energy happening because they were being present, in inverted commas. However, what I experience nowadays as being present and what is a much more relaxing version of being present is that I'm present to the inside of me, which means I can be present to the inside of you. Whereas if I put 100% of my attention on you, then I'm not at home in my body and then you're talking to essentially a shadow.
That sounds fun. So would you say that sort of more important than following the sex God method ideas of dominance, emotion, variety, emotion, it would be more about being able to be present within yourself and play with the energies that come up inside you?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely be in the moment. Feel what energy is present for you. Feel what energy is present for the woman. And women have a certain way of bringing out in a man the energy that is needed for her. So, for example, a man could walk into the room and a woman might be in a really light, playful sexual space inside of herself. Yeah. And even without verbally communicating that to a man, she can let him know. So, but if a man's in his head going, oh, I've got to act out that tech out of the sex God book,
then what step am I up to? Fuck, help.
Then he might miss out on the fact that she's communicating sexy playfulness through her aura to him.
Okay. Yeah.
And I know it sounds a little woo-woo when I start talking about auras and things, but for the men to be aware that all they really need to do is relax and trust themselves. Okay. Because when they relax and trust themselves, the woman's body will communicate to them.
So when they relax and just start to be present with actually what's happening inside them and what's happening around them,
yeah,
naturalness comes out.
Yeah.
Do you have any, I know this is that's a really challenging area for guys and something that we work on a lot in our workshops. Do you have any specific practices you recommend for guys for learning how to trust their natural instincts more and sort of move away from the head games and thoughts and rules and logic and be able to trust the natural instincts of their body?
Yeah, bringing the energy into their belly and into their penis. So the practice that I suggested before of breathing in through the heart and the hand over the penis and breathing out through the penis, that's a really beautiful one, yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Because the more that a man can be grounded in his belly and his penis, the more he then can trust that energy.
Okay.
And also, it is important that a man does his inner emotional work, because most men have had some experiences throughout their lives of feeling shamed or guilty or afraid for being sexual or whatever it is that's happened on their journey about being sexual men that has created contraction and shutdown. So doing that inner work might mean, you know, talking to somebody about sexual fears and shame and, or, you know, spending time journaling their sexual fears and shame and whatever other emotional processes can really develop a deeper level of integration for him.
It's interesting you mention that, because I know I grew up believing that it was wrong to be dominant and assertive. And one of the most incredible sort of learning experiences for myself was about expressing that to a woman and having her sort of give me feedback that it was okay. And then us talking about creating a space where I was able to play that out. And just being able to play that out and to experience it and let it all out was an incredible, incredible experience.
Yeah. And allows you to have those flavors alive inside of you again, because it is an important part of the masculine energy to be able to express assertion and dominance. Yeah.
Excellent. There's another question here from a guy called Noz. Yeah, he asked, can a casual sexual relationship be fulfilling for both parties? Do women get as much, or can women get as much out of casual relationships as guys seem to?
It really depends on the individual. So it can be fulfilling and satisfying for a woman. Yeah. It's important to have some clear communication around what's involved. So if you are having casual sex, to actually check in that both the man and the woman are okay with it being casual sex, because I know I went through this when I was young, and lots of women go through it thinking that casual sex is going to lead to a relationship, and it almost never does. So after sex, different hormones get activated for men and women. So for a woman after sex, oxytocin is released, and oxytocin is the bonding hormone that has us want to be close to the person that we just shared the experience with. Yeah. The man has a decrease in his testosterone after sex, which generally has him want to pull away from a woman.
And fall asleep.
Yeah. So our hormones are a little bit at cross purposes around a casual sex exchange. But having said that, if you do engage in a casual sex experience consciously and with agreement that this is what it is, then a woman's left free to make her own decision around whether she can handle her own emotional state around that. And sometimes I know when I was younger and engaging in casual sex, I was doing two things. I was trying to engage in sex like a man, which was dishonoring of my own feminine feelings. But also I was using sex to try and buy love. So it is important to be aware that having some communication gives a woman the power of choice to say yes or no. And I know a lot of men probably shy away from having that type of communication because they think that a woman's going to say no. Mm. However, it's much better to have her say no consciously than to be the kind of man who leaves little, you know, meltdowns behind him everywhere he goes.
Yeah. Great answer. Do you think that casual sex is something that there are, women are looking for?
Some women are. It's probably less common in women than in men. However, I do know some women who are happy to have casual sex encounters. So, again, it really comes back to the individual, and I do believe that's why the communication is important.
Sure. There's a really good question here from Roel. He's asked, how can you create a space during sex where women feel comfortable letting go and forgetting everything, just forgetting everything but the touch of sort of your body? I guess the kind of essence of the question is how do we, how do we make women feel more comfortable in sexual experiences?
So the more comfortable you are in your own skin as a man, then the more comfortable she will be. She will always be responding to where you're at and reflecting back that to you. And there are practices that I teach men for bringing women into their hearts and into their bodies, and there are practices I teach women for doing that for themselves as well. But I do believe the most important thing in having a woman be comfortable and present to your touch is that you're comfortable. And one thing that's worth mentioning there is this experience of performing. Because if a man goes into performance mode where he's like, I've got to get her into this place and I've got to get her to feel this, and if he's trying to make something happen, it puts a lot of pressure on inside of me for a woman. And even as a woman who is quite easily orgasmic and open and aware, I still have the experience occasionally where I've been with a man who's trying really hard. And if he's trying really hard, my body just starts to shut down. So letting go of performance and just totally meeting a woman in the moment lets her meet herself in the moment.
Amazing. I remember one of the workshops that I went to with you that you were facilitating was Intimate Nights, the one where the whole workshop is done naked. And there was about 20 people in the room or so. And we were doing one section where we were massaging each other. And the woman that I was massaging, I could tell as I was massaging her that there were points in time where I was really present with her and myself and what was going on and the dynamic between us. And then there was some point in time when I was quite in my head trying to perform and trying to do it properly and get it right. And speaking to her afterwards, she was saying she could also notice the same, even though she was lying on her back with her eyes closed, like not even looking at me, just from the way that I touched her. She could tell whether or not I was performing or whether or not I was actually just real and present with her.
Yeah.
And it was something that was like a massive learning lesson for me.
It's great for men to hear and understand that.
Yeah.
And because I know when a lot of men and women struggle with the challenge around bringing a woman to orgasm, but the amount of pressure that that creates inside for both the man and the woman is completely contrary to the experience of a satisfying sexual connection. So normally what I suggest to people in those kinds of circumstances is to let go of the trying, to let go of the outcome, because really what we're working with in Tantra is not the end point but moment by moment. Yeah. So often doing less is more, and that's why we do a lot of really simple touch practices like you would have experienced at tantric nights and intimate nights, the kind of touch whereby you could look at it from the outside and go, well, that's not going to be arousing touch. But when you're in it and two people are that connected, like you can touch, I mean, I could even touch my own arm right now. And if I do it in a sensual, connected way, it can be one of the most arousing experiences. Yeah.
So that's just you taking one more step to making men redundant, isn't it?
No, not at all. No. It would be even more sensual if a man did it.
I know one of the most incredible things that I've ever sort of done with my sexual relationships with women was having the conversation about taking the orgasm off the plate during sex and saying, so that's not the point of our sexual relationship, and we're just going to have this sexual experience without even the end point being possible, and just seeing what happens and how that plays out.
Yeah, it's a good way to take the pressure off for sure.
Yeah. It just creates a space for where so much more can come out, and you start to learn when you take the end point off the table, you start to learn how to really enjoy the moment.
Pleasing and performing in sex is something that is conditioned into us a lot through porn and the fact that we live in a society that's very much based on pleasing and performance. But when it's taken away, the level of connection can be really precious.
Amazing. There's a great question here from a guy called Cockblock. What are some of the practices for deepening intimacy in a relationship? So I know there's quite a few guys on the forum who have moved through their journey of, you know, how do I meet a woman, and have actually started to build relationships with women that are looking for ways that they can take those relationships to a new level. What would you recommend for those guys?
So taking time to really feel and understand their partner's needs and desires, because in the beginning of a relationship there's a lot of chemistry, there's a lot of attraction and quite easy connection.
Yeah.
But of course, as time goes on, each partner's needs and desires will be different, and the level of hormones kind of balances itself out somewhat.
Yeah.
So I would suggest having regular space where you can have intimate and sexual connections, where you might share with each other how you're feeling or what you'd like to explore sexually, and then dedicating time to meeting each other's needs and exploring in new ways. And it might be even something like going to a Tantra workshop or reading a book together and trying out some of the practices in the book so that they can, keep on bringing in new elements.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the pieces of advice I took from a couple, they were clients of mine some years ago, and they'd been married for 25 to 30 years and were close to relationship breakup, and then with some of the tantric work and some other work they did, they turned their relationship around. But when I asked them what made the difference, they said they started to treat each other as new every day.
Yeah.
So meeting each other each day without the history, without bringing everything forward, but just to be like, I'm a new person today. Who are you today? So allowing there to be curiosity and development rather than living out the patterns.
Yeah. That must be incredibly challenging after being married to someone for 25, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, I'm sure you would have experienced this in your own life, sometimes we have to hit crisis before we can break the molds and the patterns. And in some ways what I really liked about their advice was like, okay, well, they had to go through crisis to break the pattern, but what if people entering new relationships had something which encouraged that every day? So it might be just a certain communication that you have with each other each day to check in of what's happening on a deeper level, or once a week to go on a fun kind of play date as though you've only just met each other, or keeping some spontaneity and curiosity about who each other is.
Interesting. One of the most fun things I've ever done to help sort of keep sparks in relationships is seducing my partner all over again and picking them up. So having her go out to a bar or something like that and turning up and actually going through that rather than just playing out the same sort of boring old habits, actually going up and flirting with her and playing with her and having her flirt with other people, and that challenge and that intrigue being built up in the relationship again.
Yeah, that's definitely a fun adventure to have together.
So you mentioned there some of the one of the great ways of maybe sort of building tantra into your life is to start sort of reading books or watching DVDs or something like that. For all the guys who are overseas who aren't able to make it to your events, what are some books or maybe DVDs or websites or stuff that you'd recommend for guys who are interested in starting sort of the tantra journey?
Yeah, so I have on my website, which is tantricblossoming.com, there's a lot of articles there that I've written and some that other people have written. So that's quite a useful place to go and read some things. And also I've got a Tantric Blossoming YouTube channel with some videos there.
Amazing. I'll make sure I link that under, for everyone listening, I'll link that underneath this podcast.
Awesome. And then some of the books that I enjoy the most are written by Diana and Michael Richardson. Mm. They're a couple who live in Switzerland, and the first book is Tantric Orgasm for Women. Mm. A lot of men I know have read that book and said that they learnt more about women through that book than any other resource about women, because it reframes the way that you connect with a woman's body. It also reframes what the sexual experience is about. Sure. And then there's a more recent book they've written called Tantric Sex for Men, which covers some of the same material as Tantric Orgasm for Women, but then brings in quite a bit of anecdotal evidence and research from men's perspective. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Excellent. I'll make sure I link those from underneath the post as well. Underneath the podcast as well.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing, which I know you and I briefly mentioned earlier, is the possibility that we could put together something online for men so that we could share. There's lots of practices that I can bring, and also a lot of insights from working with people over the years. So it could be something fun that we could co-create.
Yes, I already have a lot of ideas, which I will talk to you about afterwards.
Awesome.
And for those guys who are lucky enough to be in Australia, what cities are you currently providing workshops in?
So there's workshops happening in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Canberra, and possibly Byron Bay. We're running some women's workshops soon in Byron Bay, so that may lead to some mixed workshops happening there as well.
Amazing.
For anyone who's in Melbourne, we've got Tantric Nights coming up this week, the 29th of June, but they're happening in the other cities roughly every second month, so people can see the dates for Tantric Nights on our website. And also, yeah, I run a men's introductory workshop quite regularly in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. And then Intimate Nights, the naked event you mentioned, is coming up very soon in Sydney and Brisbane, yeah.
Amazing. Which one would you recommend for guys just starting out the tantric journey?
Either Tantric Nights or Being a Sexual Man, which is the men's intro workshop that I run.
Amazing.
Tantric Nights is a little bit easier because it runs regularly, whereas Being a Sexual Man probably only happens twice a year in each city.
Okay.
So if you come along to Tantric Nights, it gives men the chance to feel a different orientation, how being relaxed in the body is much more productive for connection, how doing really simple touched practices can be super effective for creating connection rather than trying to do everything.
Yeah. Tantric Nights was my first introduction to the whole tantra experience. And I guess the really, really big takeaway that I took from my very, very first time there was this idea that, it gets mentioned a lot that communication is about 93% nonverbal. And sort of the stuff we were talking about before about how you can feel where a man is in his body. I knew that logically in my head and I'd been told it and read it 1,000 times, but it wasn't until I got into Tantric Nights and we did so many of those exercises, with sort of me and a woman, and just in complete silence and noticing sort of the interplay between us and how she could read what was going on with me and I could read what was going on with her. And we didn't need to use words to communicate and connect. Going to Tantric Nights was the first time I really felt that on the first person real experiential level.
Yeah, and we lose a lot of energy, men and women, through all the words we use. Mm. And in some ways it dilutes our connection with each other.
Yeah.
And I love watching and feeling how when people drop the words at Tantric Nights and just take back to looking into each other's eyes, feeling each other's breath, feeling each other's body, there is so much more that happens.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the men from your community come along and get a lot out of our events, and it's beautiful to see, because of course there's always a wide variety of men and women and variety of age groups, and there'll be people in the space that you're attracted to and people in the space that you're not attracted to. But part of what I see as a man's development is when he can be present with each woman and learn that each practice and each exchange can have its own flavour and energy. So some of the men I've watched grow and develop over time, they grow because they stop prejudicing based on attractiveness according to the mind and start to feel how a woman might be older than them, or she might not be their first choice of looks and preferences.
Yeah.
But in some of the simplest practices, there's that possibility of, there's still energy here. There's still presence and connection.
Yeah. I remember one of the first times that I really experienced that was doing a lot of practices with a woman who would have been about 50, maybe even older, and someone who I wasn't sexually attracted to in any way. But there was this really sort of confident, feminine strength within her that I would have completely overlooked in normal situations, but being able to be there with her and actually experience her rather than just logically think through my interaction with her really opened my eyes to seeing that.
Yeah, and it enhances your inner feminine as a man, because the more your inner feminine is developed, the easier it is for you to engage with a variety of women and to be able to take women more deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And for all the cheeky men out there, the inner feminine doesn't mean that you're, prancing around like a girl. The inner feminine's your connection to your feelings.
Thank you for clarifying that. I'm sure there was a bunch of confused guys out there. Well, Martina, thank you so much for taking all this time to chat. There's been so much wonderful advice in this, and it's actually wonderful to connect with you again. It's been quite a while.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. It's been lots of fun to share with you. And, of course, I could talk for hours on all of these topics. So I hope that we can, bring some more of this work to the men.
Amazing, amazing. So if anyone wants to know more about sort of Tantra or practices they can take on, or even about Martina and the workshops and the services that she offers, head to tantricblossoming.com. There's a lot of articles, a lot of information on there, and a lot of stuff you get stuck into. On behalf of all the guys listening to this, thank you, Martina. It's been wonderful.
Thanks heaps, Lee. Look forward to sharing again.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.